From Buenos Aires, Argentina, I'm Paige Nichols.
I'm Caroline McCann.
And this is Bad Information, a love letter to the country that drives us
mad.
Should harmonize. That was a girl list. We have a really special episode today because we've gone so mad that we have returned to the divan and we are looking inward. Caro, tell me what we've got.
The virtual divan. Now we're all doing our therapy via Zoom. Like, so you better have a divan at home. And someone who definitely has a divan at home is Fran Bianchi, who is joining us today. He is basically the king of therapy. So Fran is...
Oh my God, I love it.
...the great nephew of my therapist, Raul, who is a psicólogo and psicoterapeuta gestáltico. And Fran has a monton of information about all different kinds of therapy, everything from plant medicine to gestalt psychotherapy to different kinds of massage, bioenergética, rituales masculinos, and he dedicates at least 7 hours weekly to therapy. So here we have Fran Bianchi.
Welcome, Franchu.
Thank you, guys. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh my God.
I'm a bit nervous.
Well, that's okay, because we'll just explore those feelings together. We're just going to look into our souls. I think because, you know, Caro, our first season when we did our therapy episode, it was like very self-referential, which duh, obviously. And talking about our own experiences with therapy, especially as Americans coming from a place that maybe like, you know, isn't as diverse in terms of its therapeutical offerings, or if it is, it's just not well known. And so I think it's great that like that Fran is here to help us just explore and expand, because otherwise I would just be like telling you what I'm talking about in my sesión virtual with Alejandro and like maybe no one gives a shit, because like you know what I mean?
It's like, yeah, well, I mean,
get a what diary.
Like, I think that they're like, we love talking about therapy. We love talking about like the popularity and just like the openness around therapy in Argentina. And as I've gotten more and more plugged into that world, I've just realized that there's this whole other like rama of more alternative therapies.
Yeah.
And I think Fran will be able to tell us about his experiences with a lot of those. And then also Fran and I do our group therapy together. So we were kind of comparing the dynamics between one-on-one sessions or group sessions. So we have tons to talk about. So Fran, why don't you just tell us a little bit about how you started? I know that you started with plant medicine, things like ayahuasca, mesclun, mushrooms, marijuana. So tell us a little bit about that and anything about your background that like contributes to kind of how you entered into the deep world of therapy.
Deep therapy.
Yeah, sure. Actually, before I began all my therapies, I was in law school. I studied law.
Plot twist.
Otro abogado.
Yeah. I worked at my father's firm.
Uh-huh.
I was like super lost, doing hard drugs, like delirando, how you say it here?
Yeah. Delirious.
Totally.
Delirando.
Yeah.
Vamos.
Delirando, delirando, papi, delirando.
Yeah, and it came to a point I felt very bad with myself, and I was afraid of doing therapy. I was so afraid of doing therapy. You know,
you're like afraid of what were you going to like uncover? Like you didn't want to like open that door?
Yeah, totally. That and also like the fear to be tagged as a lunatic because I was going to therapy.
Interesting. And you felt that even here in Argentina?
Yeah, because I come from a very religious and military family.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like very hard to talk about this.
Yeah, like you don't talk about what's going on in your feelings and you kind of just tuck everything behind in a box.
Yeah, totally. And the only psychologist in the family was Raul. But
well, que psicólogo para tener en la familia. He's like the only one, but he's a good
the best one.
He's a good one. He's a good one to have.
And it's a huge clan. We're like 60 people in the clan.
Whoa.
And
you mean like in Raúl's circle? You mean?
Yeah, in the family. Yeah.
So there's like 47 lawyers. Okay. There's 47 lawyers. There's one psicólogo. There's four accountants.
Engineers.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot. I feel like in your family, there's got to be a lot of ingeniero industrial.
Yeah, totally.
And like 94% of the men play rugby.
Yeah.
So, and some pilots in the mix, right?
I'm a pilot, so. Yeah.
Okay, what? Can we talk about you? I mean, I know we are right now.
So, multifaceted.
Renaissance man.
Sorry, what?
Okay, so wait. So you were basically, so luckily you had Raúl was like the one psicólogo who was like, was he like a resource to you? Like, could you confide in him? And he was the one who like get you on your path?
No. At the beginning, yeah. But before that, he was like the mad of the family, like the mad guy, like the crazy guy. From the family.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's how I thought of him.
Okay.
So I was like super lost, and I started doing some ceremonies, mescaline ceremony.
Okay, wait, pause. How did you just go from being like, I'm a lawyer, I'm confused about my life, to like, I have mescaline and I want to do a ceremony? Like, because I feel like that's a big leap and I love that leap, but like, how, like, do you just go on like a Mercado Libre and like type in mescaline? Is there like an underground market, like on like Facebook Marketplace?
It was a slow process. I had a girlfriend that she was into this world of alternative therapies. So she's the one who introduced me. I started doing like LSD and ecstasy and marijuana and all that. And it came to a point when I was like starting to ask questions, like deeper questions of myself.
Right.
And
wait, I have another question. Sorry, I keep interrupting you because I'm really rude. But like, okay, so, and when you were experimenting with these drugs, because I think that, you know, a lot of young people in terms of like, I just like want to get fucked up. Like, was your intention always like, I want to try these to like explore my own consciousness? Or did like, because I think that's a really interesting distinction, no? In between just totally. Like recreational psychedelic use and like using it as a tool to like really go there.
Yeah, it started as like just getting fucked up and having fun, but it came to a point like when I realized that I could like go deeper into my consciousness with these drugs. So I started using them to meditate, to expand, to write deeper things. But it was not enough. It was not enough because I didn't know how to intellectualizar all that thing. I didn't have the theory. And I went on a 3-day trip of ayahuasca with a shaman and...
Ooh, where? Here?
Yeah, here in Buenos Aires.
What's that name? Can you send me his
Pass
WhatsApp?
Pass me su WhatsApp, yeah.
Yeah, Ramon.
Of course his name is Ramon. I love it.
Of course.
Kiriengisiti Ramon.
Yeah.
Okay, tell us about that experience, the ayahuasca experience. And more importantly, did you throw up? Because Paige and I are both vomit phobic and we're really scared of that.
Yeah, I did.
Ew.
Yeah,
you did.
Yeah, I threw up. Twice.
Twice.
Yeah.
Purge it.
One before I drink.
Oh, just nerves. Just nerves leading up to it?
No, actually, it was a tobacco purge. You drink tobacco.
Oh my! Oh God!
Oh, geez.
Okay, I need to go.
Yeah,
I need to call my mom.
you drink tobacco. You drink like three liters of water until you throw up. Once you throw up, then you can drink ayahuasca.
Oh my God! So it's a requirement, Paige.
I will just wait for you outside. I'll pick you up the next
wait
day.
In the car. Yeah. So 3 days. So how many different like tomas did you do?
Tres tomas.
Okay. Yeah. And like, are you like, do you feel, because I mean, I think some people know about this, you know, ayahuasca is like very linked to nature and sort of like the jungle and being like away from a city, right? Sort of like its origins. Like, did you feel, were you in like Capital? Were you in like a building? Were you like outside? How do you feel like the experience lined up?
I was in the countryside. So okay. it was like totally connected to nature.
Amazing.
Yeah, it really helped.
And how was the experience?
Yeah. The experience was okay. I mean, I didn't have the tools to registrar all that was going on, but it did an amazing effect on my body, on my mind, on my heart. It opened my heart so much that one week after that I went totally afraid. Maybe psychotic.
And wait, you went psycho?
Yeah, I went psycho, totally. Yeah.
What happened?
Explain.
I started to see ghosts. I was in my parents' house, in my bedroom. I called Raul on the phone.
Yeah.
And I started to tell him what I was like feeling and seeing and having all these thoughts and having all this, and I went crazy and I took my backpack. I started like feeling with I don't know what. I took my bike. No, first I went to my parents' house. I said, "Hey guys, I'm leaving home. Like, bye bye.
Never see you
again. Bye."
They froze. Like, what? I took my bike and I ride like 30 blocks to my girlfriend's house.
Okay.
Yeah, and then, yeah, I stayed there smoking marijuana all day, couldn't come back down.
I couldn't come back down.
I went on a vertical expanding my mind and everything, like on a one-way trip, but I couldn't go backward.
I mean, I would be calling Ramon. I would be like, Ramon, come help me.
Yeah, but I was like,
ooh, Ramon didn't take care of that part of the process of making sure that you were like back no. with us. Ooh,
no.
Okay.
No.
Malo. No,
that
malo.
Makes me anxious.
Yeah, he's like different kind of shaman. I mean, he provides the medicine, but then okay, so
you're on your own. Ooh.
Yeah. So I called Raul and he invited me to go to his house to live. I went there and I'm there since 3 years ago. Like
the rest is history.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then you kind of just dove into all that he offers, which is like Raul does one-on-one therapy, but then he also has these different groups. And the one that Fran and I do where we met is called TEM, which is Transformación en Movimiento. So when I talked about it on the last episode, Fran, I was like, I talked about TEM as if it were like dance, like we called it dance therapy. Like with Paige, I still call it like, oh, I'm going to dance therapy. But because like, it was kind of like, oh, I go, I move my body and I feel a lot better after it. So it was like, okay, so in that sense, it's a therapy because, you know, you feel better after right. the time that you put in. But I didn't realize what, like, how theoretical the whole kind of approach was. Raul has written a book about this. And so we're in the second year of it, and we're learning about archetypes. And so there's tons of stuff that I never imagined. I thought it was just kind of like, yeah, okay, you like move your body in different ways and it feels good, you know?
Yeah.
And it's become like so much more than that. And to share it in a group is really fascinating. Because you get to, you know, see yourself in others, like understand how much of what you are going through is like something that's shared. And I think that you can kind of like rest in that because you know that like you're not alone and you've created this like network and this this red, right?
Yeah, because you also think, like, I mean, I think, you know, we were talking a little before about, like, the difference between how therapy is perceived or even just practiced, like, in the U.S., and it does feel so, I think, like, the initial assumption is that it's so individual, like, it's you and a psicólogo or a psychiatrist or whomever, a shaman, and it's, like, very one-on-one, and then, but to be reminded that, like, we're, like, we belong to each other, and, like, hay esta red, like, it's actually... It's really fascinating to think about that because I think that maybe some people are reluctant to look into it because they feel like they're very much on their own. And to do like a group experience must just bring with it like so many other layers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fram, yeah. What would you say about it?
yeah. And I believe that in the US, the paradigm is like very super individual, like my own rights, my own happiness, my own success, and the therapy, the well-known therapy there, like TBC, has an approach
the cognitive behavioral CBT. Therapy.
Yeah, CBT.
Yeah there, CBT. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if you want to improve yourself, to go more efficient, to be happier, to be more productive, to be more successful, to improve yourself, it's very valid. I believe it's very valid, and we all have an ego, and we all want to be better, and it's fine, it's okay, and I agree with that. But as you well said, there's no seeing the other. There is no sense of belonging to a higher mystery, to a net, to see ourselves in the others. It's just improve. It's in a way, I think it's congruente, it's coherent with the capitalism system.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like very lineal, yeah. And it's like you said, exactly. Like I'm going to do therapy, and it's like I'm doing therapy because there's something wrong with me, or I have a problem, and I want to fix it, and I want to be better, and I'm going to use those tools to make me more happy, more productive, more successful. Like all those things you just said, and it's kind of like maybe not. It's more of like a okay, well, I'm fixed now. I'm done. Like you know, like mission accomplished. I did it.
Right. I think. When you do go to therapy in the US, it's for like some like specific issue or trauma or experience, you know, traumatic experience that you went through. And then CBT, which is cognitive behavioral therapy, is kind of about your thoughts, the approach is that your thoughts affect your emotions. And so if you can control your thoughts, then you can control your emotions. So wonderful. It has great results. Like all the statistics, you know, are definitely impressive, but we were talking yesterday about, then you just become this grand controller. Then you're just kind of like hijacking your mind and saying like, no, 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 brain, don't go there. You know, we don't go there anymore because we know that it gives us these bad emotions. And in comparison in Argentina, you know, a lot of people treat therapy as kind of like a lifelong venture, a lifelong exploration. Yeah. And it's not necessarily to resolve anything in particular. It's just to have it as that support. Even when things are going really well in your life, it's like the idea is that you keep showing up so that, you know, it can continue to be a support when things are good and when things are bad, regardless.
Yeah. Like you build on that space. It's like, yeah, I think it's funny though, because I will fully admit to like cracking jokes about, because like the stereotype or the thing that's known about Argentina from people abroad is like, yeah, you know, Villa Freud, and like, you know, how everyone's like, there's more psychotherapists like per capita than anywhere else in the world. And like, you know, they're super into therapy, but like, you know, I've even made the joke like, pero si son todos histéricos, tipo la terapia no está funcionando. Right. Like
I say that a lot. And I'll admit that I like felt that with people when coming into them, I was like, oh, these are all people who've like done a lot of therapy. Like they must have it all like, totally figured out, you know, 'cause, like, yeah. Fran's laughing because it's like you like, you can't know the limits of your soul. Like, once you start to like access that, it's like, oh no, this is like a lifelong journey. It's not, you know, something acute that we're trying to resolve.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel bad. I apologize, Fran, to your people as a whole for maybe being a little callous and like making jokes that are because I'm an asshole. Because in a way, it's like, you know, I think that like todos somos histéricos. Like, we're all humans and we all have like a mishmash of things happening in our lives. And exactly, like, just because you're doing therapy doesn't mean that you're, that there's something fundamentally wrong with you. And even if you do have like lifelong issues, there's also nothing wrong with that. Like, it's not like you have to go to a finish line and like say, okay, check, I did this, I'm done. Like, right? Like, I mean, do you view like, how do you view the different therapies that you are familiar with in terms of like maybe what they're best suited to, or like why you would do them, or like, are some of them too advanced for like you were saying, you know, with some of the medicine, like plant medicine, like you didn't have the tools to like interpret what was going on?
Yeah, I think like everything that makes us feel better, from dancing to singing to cooking, I think like that is the basic stuff to do. Like, if it's good for you, just go ahead and do it. Then of course, yeah, you have like so many different types of therapies, like alternative and plant medicine and things you learn in college and in university. But yeah, I think it's like, I don't know if there is like one that is suited for you. I think it's like explore, go and throw yourself in the pool and start to explore. You know, what I recommend is like, don't stay on your mind. Like, don't do just psychotherapy, which is not just talking, like dance, move, take massage, do.
Tell me about bioenergetic. What is that?
Bioenergetic is, it comes from psychoanalysis.
Okay.
But it's a different approach. It's, I mean, sometimes you tell yourself something, you tell a story about yourself, about what you believe, about who you think you are, but the body tells something else. Mm. No, you know, when you go to, when you do yoga and you have this sensation of going back to the body and habitar el cuerpo, the body. Okay, but this is like super intense. It's like 1 month of yoga and one session of bioenergetic. It like opens the chest and grounds and
Shendo. I want that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in TEM we do a bunch of stuff from Bioenergetica.
Yeah. Like what? What's an example of something you do in Bioenergetica?
You know, every time we dance, but like very, very near the floor, like, and we move the pelvis, and we open the
Paige,
ass.
Are you cracking up?
I'm just like,
we open our asses together.
Like, yeah, I'm just like imagining like an orgy. Like, I'm like, is this what Tim is?
Sometimes.
Oh my God, Fran, stop.
Wait, what
stop.
Happens in no, Tem but, stays in Tem.
But, it's la red, se protege la red. No, but the reason I ask is because Lauti does bioenergetica and I don't exactly know like what is from bioenergetica and what is not, because Raul very much does like a mashup. Like, I've done individual sessions with Raul where he's started to like do some bioenergetica stuff. Like, well, I think it was, I was basically throwing pillows, throwing pillows at the floor, like screaming, like, so what I would say from my perspective is like, for some of the more alternative therapies, like it can be super uncomfortable.
It sounds
like
uncomfortable.
You know, it's one thing to go in and like demonstrate, like, which is and put on kind of just another mask in front of a therapist that you're talking to, where you're also kind of, you know, concerned about how you come off or, you know, whatever it might be. And a lot of the walls come down in these different, like in the therapies that I've tried like this, because you are just like, Yeah, it's not about what you say or what you demonstrate. It's about like what you're feeling in your body or it how
sounds,
you can.
It sounds like it just makes you so vulnerable, which is like amazing, but like really scary. Kind of like what you were saying from the beginning of like you didn't want to like open that door maybe because it's almost like what, like you don't know what's going to come out. And I think that like I'm imagining myself like, if I think of Tem as dance therapy, like if we're going to use that example, I'm like the worst dancer ever. And I have like no rhythm and I'm like really dura. Like I am literally like de madera. And so like, I imagine myself trying like doing that. Let's say like I can see myself just being so self-conscious, right? And like afraid of maybe showing that to other people, like,
or like of doing it wrong.
Yeah, like doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, that was an experience that I had with the very first Tem session that I went to, which was like, I treated it like dance therapy. I treated it like a sports practice in a way. Mm. You know what I mean? I was kind of like looking to Raul, like, okay, what's the next drill, you know, and I'll do it really well because I, you know, wanna shine in your eyes or whatever it might be. Like I recognized that I was really looking to him as this authority figure, which is something else that we talked about yesterday. But it's you definitely have to be super vulnerable. Like I think especially for people, I don't know, people from the US where we're just kind of, we're more like uptight and uptight. We're repressed a lot of emotions, I think.
Well, it's that Puritan roots. Like, I mean, hello, the fucking Pilgrims are like, I mean, you know, our country was built on that. And it's so true. Like, we're so
blame
repressed.
The Pilgrims.
Blame the fucking Pilgrims. They had ugly clothes. Like, come on.
We're super repressed. I mean, even like, I think Fran can resonate because it's like his family, you said with your like religious upbringing, like you were scared to be the sissy who's going to therapy or whatever it might be. But I think you want to be prepared for like what's going to come up. And then also like when you become vulnerable like that, I don't know, you might want to laugh because you think it's like just hysterical and you can't believe that you're like, you know, opening your anus in a group or whatever.
Oh my God.
By the way, we do not do that. Well, I mean, I guess you're talking about
pelvis, not anus.
I thought he said ass at some point. He said ass.
I said ass. I didn't say anus.
Okay. Well, pelvis.
I got a little more. He said pelvis and then he said ass. Anyway,
oh my God. I blocked it all out.
Because, I mean, it's the chakras, right? It's the energetic centers. Yeah. And it's like the sacrum is like super, that's the root chakra. It's where it all, like all of the vital energy like is born there and like rises out of there. So, so we do a lot of stuff like that. And so it might make you want to laugh. It might make you want to cry, like for a number of reasons. Like it might make you want to cry just because of the sheer discomfort of it. Like discomfort in the sense of like, I'm gyrating my pelvis in a group and this is uncomfortable, or discomfort of like it brings up something deeper, like you have a memory of like some sort of traumatic event or something like that. Like it's been kind of mind-blowing.
Yeah, I have a question about this because like I'm super intrigued and like and I also feel like I'm very like aware of people, like practitioners who maybe take advantage of their space as an authority figure, like you were saying, Caro, like, and I'm like Raul, I know he's like amazing, so I'm not using him as but like you think of, you know, the founder of Bikram, who's like a full on predator. Like when you're in these spaces, it's so important to have that kind of feeling of safety and trust. And like, how do you know that you're doing a therapy or you're with a professional or a practitioner who will respect and like honor those spaces? Because it sounds like you're kind of like taking off all of your armor and you're in a space where it's like you have, you know, it's just, you're so exposed, right? And it can be so beautiful, but like how do you know that you're also in a space that's going to be
such a good question.
Yeah, I think you don't know.
Okay, Fran.
Damn it. I really wanted, I was going to be like, kick it over to Fran to give us all the characteristic of what makes a safe space, because I do feel very safe with Raul. And what do you think it is about like Raul or his community that like, or do you think that he's been able to for a long time create like what seems to me to be a very safe and like trusting
and like ethical
space?
Yeah, like Like, how does the ethics kind of weave in? Because
Ooh,
I think
good
of like
question.
Because I think of like with my like I do therapy here, I do psychotherapy here with an Argentine who's like lived in the U.S. and so he's like bicultural, bilingual, whatever, and he's very, very respectful of like privacy and like he uses like encrypted email, like stuff that to me like I don't really think is. It doesn't bother me because I'm like, I don't have anything, you know, super important maybe to protect. I mean, but I really respect his like serious approach to patients and clients, like privacy in all ways. And like, he goes out of his way, I think, to really be clear about that. And I'm not sure if that's maybe more of like a, from the US kind of influence or what, but like, how does also, cause it's like sort of a more quote traditional therapeutic route in these more alternative spaces, like how does ethics and like honor and trust play a role? Like, is there one kind of way to do it or what do you think?
That's a hard question. Yeah, maybe. I mean, there is, you have to trust. I mean, if you don't trust, like maybe explore why you don't trust, because there, you have no, not the certeza. You don't have the.
Right. No, I agree. Yeah. But like, what if like the person who's in charge is like, actually an asshole, and like I'm saying in the word like this is like a I'm not saying this is common, but let's say like so but and it's like it becomes my fault for not trusting them, like how is that person held accountable for the space they create to try to help people like explore and grow?
Yeah, well, there if you are a psychologist, there is a legal
right
there, yeah, there are legal stuff. I mean, if you do
alternative, but what if you're a shaman?
Well,
what if
yeah,
Ramon
yeah, yeah, what if
no. No, there is any legal background there. No. I mean, yeah.
So do you think that like by participating, you're taking on a risk? Like, is it kind of just as simple
sure.
as that?
Yeah, always. I mean, life, I believe like life is with risk. When I go to maybe, I don't know, to Rituales Masculinos with all these 20 guys.
Macho man.
Ooh. Yeah.
Name of this. Yours.
Do you connect your buttholes there too?
Yeah, we do. No. Yeah.
It's actually just called Grindr, Fran.
Nailed it. Rituales Masculinos. So what's the story there? 10 men just getting their angst on, getting their angustia rising.
Angustia rising. That's a name for a boner, by the way.
Okay. No, we explore.
Okay, continue. Sorry.
Sorry.
We explore masculine archetypes. Archetypes?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But in the we go to the countryside and we go like we play, but super extreme, you know, the archetype of how do you say this?
Say it in Spanish.
Yeah. Victima, victimario.
Oh, wow. The victim
so
and the
like,
victimizer.
Yeah.
Or maybe to confront other. And we go to in a circle and we confront other with our bodies. And we play like super rough, super bad. We include our feminine part. Our emotions, our sensitive sensitivity.
Yeah, sensitivities.
Yeah. So
Rituales Masculinos, is it about incorporating like both of those sides, the masculine and the feminine?
Yeah, I think it's like more some exploring and finding some alchemy between our both sides.
Ooh,
masculine.
Okay. Yeah. And like, what's the kind of profile of a guy who goes to that? Because I think that, you know, there's a lot of layers here in Argentina with like machismo, and it's obviously a very like macho driven society, even though like things are changing slowly but surely, et cetera, et cetera. Like, how does a guy come across like Rituales Masculinos? Like, are you guys all kind of on the same wavelength? Or are there some like people who are like, I mean, how, just like, what is the makeup of the group look like?
Yeah. It's people from everywhere. What I have seen in these years I did it, was many guys, Palermo sensible guys, like sensitive,
like Palermo emo,
soft, Yeah, super
Palermo sensitive. I've never
been there. Yeah. like super soft and sensitive guys, but lacking some masculinity, some more aggressive energy. So maybe the opposite of what we say, like macho argentino or machirulo.
Claro. Someone who's more sensitive would tend to go.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And but also some, I don't know, Neanderthal
rugbyer sin cuello.
Yeah.
Well, I think like there is definitely like in the circles. I mean, I've started to get to know, the reason I knew Fran would be a good guest, let me start there, is because anytime that we were talking about any of these different alternative therapies, Fran would be like, oh, ¿conoces a María no sé qué de bioenergética? Ah, y Joaquín no sé cuánto de rituales masculinos. And it, like, he was referencing all of these things that I was like, what are these things like? So, but the network seems to be one that's also made up of a lot of like psychologists or students of psychology, right? Like people who are kind of like really invested in the study of like of the whole thing, not just having this be just like their 1 hour of therapy a week, but having it more be like
the lifestyle?
Just this, the lifestyle and the lifetime, like exploration. That's kind of what I've observed from the community. And I think it's sometimes cool when you see like the rugbyer Neanderthal who's like maybe starting to ask himself these questions and like want to participate. And maybe those are the people who in the scenarios are a little bit more like duro. And I am too. I'm like durísima in certain scenarios because it's just like so novel and so you have to like really be willing to expose yourself a lot, I think.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, it's pretty wild. I mean, I think like it does to me in a way sound like, and correct me if I'm wrong, of course, like it's almost like, Kato, when you mentioned like this sort of lifestyle, it's like once you kind of go super deep into like el mundo de las terapias, it's like, it sounds like it really changes, of course, you know, who you are on many levels and maybe like how you see the world, how you engage with the world, who you spend your time with. And it's almost like, I mean, it seems like there is a point where it almost goes beyond, like it becomes its own sort of universe, right? Like you kind of, that becomes so part of your identity. Like, is there such a thing as too much therapy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe it is. Yeah. Yeah.
But you think 7 hours a week is not too much for in That'd your be case.
But of those 7 hours, maybe just two are for just myself, my own therapy.
Got it.
The others are more like exploration groups like them or rituales or other stuff I do. But yeah.
Let's do a list of all the therapies that you do or have done.
Yeah. Bioenergetic.
Check.
Constelaciones familiares.
Check.
Esalen massage.
Ooh, tell me about that.
Which, by the way, if you Google Esalen massage, you'll see pictures of Fran and his massage studio.
Yeah, if you come to Palermo.
If you're a Palermo sensible.
Yeah, if you're a Palermo sensible, you want to take a
call nice me. Massage. What is Esalen massage?
You know, Esalen is a... It's a research center in California.
Okay.
From the Gestalt therapy.
What's Gestalt?
Gestalt. It's a...
I like saying that word.
Gestalt. Yeah, German.
It sounds like death metal. Like Gestalt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gestalt. Well, actually they're, of all psychotherapies, they're like the most zen and... Oriente and meditation. So it's like the opposite of metal.
Love it.
Yeah. Well, they developed this massage, this therapeutic massage in California. Very nice, very deep.
Mm. Name of my sex tape. Very nice, very deep.
But Gestalt psychotherapy is like the main kind of like motto is that the whole is different from the sum of its parts, Yeah. Right. So it's about looking at, so tell us more about that.
Okay. You know, when we are in the group of them.
Yeah.
And they tell us, okay, but talk about yourself. Don't interpret the other. Talk about what happens to you. What is it that is happening to you? What are your sensations now? No, don't tell me what you did yesterday. Tell me what you're feeling like right now in the moment.
Yes, yes. Which is harder to do than it sounds.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about that and I don't know what my answer would be.
It's very hard. It's hard, Paige. Like you have to be brought back. Like you have to be interrupted and brought back and be like, no, but how do you feel? And where do you feel it in your body? You know, so it's,
wow.
Keep going, friend.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it's very large, the Gestalt therapy, but what we do in TEM has something of Gestalt, you know, there's a group and one guy talks and you can resonate with what he's saying,
but he doesn't have
the complete truth. He's just one of the angles of the perspective, you know?
Mm-hmm. My mind is being like blown into a million pieces right now. Like, I feel like, I love it. Cause it's just like, it's so big and like intense and like amazing, but it's sort of just like, you feel like there's this whole just other part of the universe that like, we aren't even scratching the surface in terms of just like how we see ourselves, how we relate to others. Like, wow.
Right. Which is what the whole concept of them is like vínculos, trabajar con vínculos.
Yeah.
It's fascinating when, you know, different people can have such different experiences and they're all valid. Right. Uh-huh. So like, that's what's interesting about like, when we share our experiences in them, like we're not trying to adjust them or change them or find a solution for them. We're simply like registrándolos, like just registering them, for lack of a better word.
And sharing them.
And then circulándolos, like sharing them. Yeah. So, but like, you know, somebody might be feeling like a lot of angustia. Angustia is definitely a hot one. Yeah. And we're not there like being like, well, why don't you try? Or like, I read this really good book, or like, you know, take a bubble bath. Like we're all just like, there's no solution except for like the work itself, like is the solution. Mm-hmm. But I think that that's interesting. Like just being around people in all of their different like moods and moments and like just holding space for one another.
Yeah. I love that. Like, we belong to each other.
Yeah.
And Fran, yesterday you said something interesting that I wanted to ask about. You said like, that's why astrology is so important. And I know that you have you studied formally astrology?
I'm studying. I'm in the second year of 4 years of formation.
Oh my God, you're going to be licenciado en astrología. That is my dream life.
Oh my God, astrologo.
Oh my God, what are your theses? Don't forget your theses.
what are your energies, you know?
Oh, what do you think?
I know, well, Caroline's, yours, I know them.
Yeah.
Well, what are they? What are hers?
Sun in Leo, rising Aquarius?
No. Try again.
No?
Try
rising,
again.
Rising Libra?
No.
Pisces?
No.
I don't know.
You're not licenciado yet.
Yeah.
Rising, no. Rising Aries.
Ooh, oh, that makes sense.
Okay.
BDE.
All right.
And what's your moon?
Libra.
Moon. My moon is in Cancer.
What?
Oh, that makes sense.
I had it all wrong.
You're fired. Libra and then double Gemini. I'm Libra with Gemini rising and moon.
Okay, yeah.
That's why I don't ever shut the fuck up.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like...
It's okay, like, so let's talk about this. So let's talk about this concept of blaming the moon, astro excusa. Okay. So Fran, you had a different carta astral in your head. So maybe you were interpreting the things that I did from because you thought I was an Aquarius rising, but really I'm an Aries rising. So no, so like how much can we rely on astrology? How much are we leaning on astrology and with a fixed mindset and not growing or considering ourselves like at least with the ability to grow and and improve.
Mm. Well, it's that like super interesting, because I think of astrology as a map.
Okay.
But the map is like totally different to the terrain where we move. So we can have this map and we can know like, oh, this guy has these energies, and next year the sky is going to be on this way with this, all that stuff. But then what happens in the reality, in the human experience, is totally different to what you can predict. So it's not a predictive astrology as it used to be in the medieval times, but it's more like a human vincular astrology where we explore the bonds.
I think of it as like self-knowledge. Like, yeah, like I don't want, like, I mean, because I don't know anything about astrology in terms of like your level of study, right? But I think I don't want to look in the newspaper and it's going to say tomorrow you'll meet, you know, you'll meet.
Oh, no.
It's more like, it's like, this is how you are. This is kind of like your personality. This is why you maybe do the things that you do, or like kind of more of just like looking inward, like kind of as a complementary to all the other things that I do.
Yeah. Yeah. On one way it can be that. Also to explore and to get to know other stuff, other parts of yourself you didn't identify with.
So like,
parts of yourself.
So like astrology is therapy? Like, eso cuenta como terapia? I love this.
It has a healing power, I believe. It can be very, very healing. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I think it can be so... When I use the pattern, the app, the pattern. Do you know the pattern, Fran?
No, what is it?
It's an app that it's an astrology app. And like, I mean, I haven't used many others, but like reading it is like therapy. I mean, I guess we should identify what is therapy. Like,
right,
is it something that makes you feel better than like Fran said, dancing, singing, cooking, those can all be considered
like therapeutic.
Looking at pretty colors. They can all be considered therapeutic. But, but sometimes reading the pattern, I'm just like, oh my God, like I feel that I can like rest my anxieties for a moment because I'm given some sort of insight that allows for that allows me to just be like, okay, like there's something greater at play. Like this is kind of built into who I am. Like whether it's like, okay, I have to like ride out this difficult period, or like, ooh, no wonder I'm feeling so energized. Like it's a moment where I'm feeling a lot of productivity or whatever it might be.
Yeah. It's a very interesting way to, you know how we say, correrte de vos mismo, salirte del medio.
Get out of the way. Move, bitch.
Move, bitch. Yeah. Get your mind out of the way. Oh, there is a bigger stuff. Oh, I'm included in a bigger mystery I don't know nothing about. And things don't occur to me. I'm part of these things, of these experiences, of these sequences. I think they happen to me. That is like the narcissism, and it's okay. But yeah, so.
Ooh, I want to talk more about narcissism.
Yeah, give us a little narcissism.
We're all narcissists,
right?
Fully. Yeah. I mean,
because I'm like, I like Google it. I'm like, well, I just want to be sure I'm not a narcissist. And it's like, yeah, no, but I am.
You're like, yeah,
I definitely am.
Checks out.
Yeah.
And like, do you think, Fran, like it's like part of just therapy of any kind is like acknowledging that and then like trying to just like keep it in check? Like, do you think that might be almost like a unifying thread across all of these different experiences and therapies of like, okay, like recognize that you're a narcissist and then just like try to keep it at bay? Or like, maybe am I just like, what do you think about that?
Maybe recognize you're a narcissist and breathe, just breathe, you know.
Ooh, I want to put that
breathe,
on a t-shirt.
Temblar ahí.
Yeah,
temblar ahí.
Ooh, sexy.
Yeah, feel the vibration, feel the temblor, breathe. And
cuando pase el temblor, I'm singing. Sorry. I always have to sing.
Ooh, good one.
Every week. Oh, that's a great one. But wait, Fran. So we were doing your list of all the different therapies that you have done or do, but you were telling us the other day about like, you're building like a resource that's like a definitive like list of all of the therapies that exist.
Yeah, my girlfriend is doing that.
Okay, what's her name? Do you want to give her a shout out?
Juliana.
Yeah. Oh, Juli, love you. Besitos. Yeah. Hola. Okay. Hola, Jules.
Jules, yeah.
Jules. Jules. Okay. So like,
okay. Yeah, she was she was researching. She was researching on this Chilean website, and they had all this list of alternative therapies that I don't know nothing about.
Okay, even you haven't heard of these therapies?
No.
Okay, so give us, throw them our way, and we're going to try our best to translate them.
Oh, okay.
So say it in Spanish, okay?
Yeah. Apiterapia.
Apiterapia?
Yeah.
Apiterapia?
celery therapy. Got it. Next.
Happy terapia is dick therapy. You're welcome. What is apiterapia?
I think it has something to do with bees.
Oh, what? Apicultura. I was going to guess that. I should have known.
Yeah. Oh, Paige, come on.
My Latin.
Walking encyclopedia. Come
Class
on.
Clown once again.
Pop-up video. Okay, next one.
Alfabiotismo.
Okay, what?
Okay.
Excuse me?
No, I don't know what that is about.
Amphibious therapy?
Maybe, yeah.
I thought it was like reading the alphabet. I thought it was the alfabetismo.
Hooked on phonics works for me.
Yeah. Activaciones estelares.
Ooh, stellar activations.
Ooh, stellar activations is also the name of my sex tape.
Yeah, that's literally the name of your sex tape, the whole series, the box set. Okay, what else?
Okay.
Convergencia armónica.
Harmonic convergence. That also sounds kind of sexy. I'm getting like a sexy undercurrent on like a lot of this, except for the one about beats.
Okay. Wait, but like, yeah, so I understand like if you're invited to like, hey, che, Chulz, ¿quieres ir a armónica convergencia el jueves? Like, you definitely want to know the ethics of that place.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I want it to be above board.
Yeah, I want it to have an FDA approval.
Yeah, literally.
There is no FDA here in Argentina.
There are no rules here.
I want it to have a quit and a quil and an afip and all
an
that.
And ansis and all that shit. What else is Isa on that crazy list? Isa.
Fasioterapia vietnamita.
Okay, that is sex trafficking. I'm sorry.
Yeah, totally. Fascio
Faso.
Fasoterapia.
That's Caro's. That's her wheelhouse.
Absolutely. Wait, so Fran, is there a therapy in Argentina that you haven't done yet that you want to do? And what is that called?
Ooh, yeah.
Never thought about that.
Oh, like if we were going to sponsor a year of any therapy you wanted.
The one that our partner, our companion of them, I forgot her name. the one that she did right now in Mendoza.
Oh, vinoterapia? Aguasaya.
Aguajara.
Aguajara.
Nice. Aguajara?
It's like you're...
I don't even know her.
Yeah.
I heard he's beautiful.
Nailed it. It was... It's like... it's kind of... It's seemed to me like a bit of like a massage in the water. Like you're floating around and like you're being moved and manipulated. I'm sure it goes into very profound levels beyond that. But it looks like a beautiful form of therapy. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Ooh, wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, sorry guys, I gotta go to Mendoza for the next 6 months. I'm gonna be floating in the pool. I would be like, yes.
Where floating in some termas.
Oh, yeah, in termas, better.
I need the terma. I need to be just sulfured.
What about a sensory dermas. Deprivation tank?
Ooh, that kind of those. That kind of scares me.
Does that scare you? Yeah. It intrigues me. I never did it.
It makes my heart.
Do they not have it here?
No, I have never seen it. Maybe it is.
Well, wasn't there that experiment where they like gave people LSD and then put them in sensory deprivation tanks?
In
the 70s. Yeah. You're like, yeah.
Back in the day.
Back in the dirt.
I did really like, I know we all watched that, the movie Have a Good Trip, which I thought was funny, but I really enjoyed the, I know it's kind of cringy, but the goop episode of like the healing trip, because they talked about, they had a lot of different case studies of just coming back to the plant medicine bit. Like they had a lot of different case studies about how, psychedelics like have been used to treat PTSD and like
depression
and depression and anxiety, like chronic anxiety for cancer survivors. And so, Yeah,
I feel like there's definitely
hot right now.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, it's kind of, when I say it's kind of like a shame, quote unquote, that it's become like trendy in the sense that it that always worries me. Like I know a lot of people here, I know of people here who like expats who are like, I'm into ayahuasca now. And like, kind of like, I feel like we're like, you know, like gentrifying some of these rituals, which I don't think is your style. Cause I know that you have like a really deep connection with all of these things and a deep respect, but like in a way it's cool because you think, okay, well, if we're getting more mainstream coverage of what some of these plants and medicines and drugs and, you know, can do that have like true benefits beyond what we already know of like the spiritual benefits, right? But sort of saying like, how can they apply to like our Western society and culture? But then it's like, there's always that fear that they're going to be like bastardized and just like maybe so far removed from that kind of like holy or like sacred or whatever you want to call it kind of like root. But like, you know, as someone who I'm like, drugs do not really agree with me. Like I'm just a very nervous person, but I like fully support and like love that psychedelics have those effects beyond just like recreational. Like, it's like, you know what I mean? Like, I kind of like, I want to be able to partake in that because I want to show my support, but I'm also just like afraid because I know myself and I'm like the Ben Stiller in Have a Good Trip.
Right. Right. Like that calls his dad. Oh my God.
Like that would be me, right? I'd be like,
dad.
Like Fran, when you're talking about your week long ayahuasca trip, I literally started like, I was going to have diarrhea. Like I was just like, couldn't even hear about it because it makes me so anxious. But like, it is cool that finally it seems like it's coming back into discourse of just like, there are so many ways to heal and to connect with yourself and to expand your consciousness. And like, we need to be mindful of that.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to control ayahuasca, you're going to have a bad trip.
Yeah. Well, that's not for me then. Okay.
Yeah.
The black wizard archetype controlling everything.
Control. Yeah. I mean, these guys from Brooklyn or whatever, they're doing their own ceremonies with ayahuasca. I don't know. Maybe it's like one of the ways to, as you said, of getting the ayahuasca into the mainstream, and maybe they are doing it for a narcissist confirmation and saying, "Oh, I'm so cool. I'm doing this. I'm going to expand my mind. I'm going to be
more
intelligent." But deep, I think that deep inside that process, maybe something deeper awakes and says, okay, why am I doing this? Like, okay, I mean,
like maybe by doing it with their narcissistic intentions, they actually end up discovering, like they kind of come full circle to like,
well, that was my way. That's how I got introduced to.
I want you to have a Netflix show about your life or like write a book.
Yeah. Maybe take, write a book.
I want you to also don't forget to pass me the Mercado Libre contact of the mescaline, because I.
Oh yeah. Well, if you go to Peru, to Cusco, there is a Mercado de San Pedro. You can go and buy mescaline in a mercado.
Tranqui.
Really?
Oh my God. Make sure you bring your own bag.
I was in Cusco, and you definitely saw a lot of like the ayahuasca tourism going on, like, you know, people in their llama ponchos with their, you know, pointy hats and like come wandering into the hotel at like 5 a.m, like post that was kind of what I was suspecting was going on with a group that I encountered. But I too, like, don't feel prepared. Like it fascinates me. Like, obviously I'm fine with marijuana, but like any of the psychedelics, mushrooms, mescaline, ayahuasca, I think that they need to be treated with respect. I mean, if you read like, Carlos Castañeda, like the Don Juan, like, and you learn about the fact that these plants are teachers and they're like sacred teachers and they're meant to teach you things, then hopefully you can go in like with that knowledge and with like a proper intention for the experience. Right. But like, yeah, using it recreationally just scares the shit out of me. Like, yeah. I just
the idea
not.
Of just like having a bad trip to me, because I'm such an anxious person and just like kind of prone to paranoia. It's like, and I think that there is like they're not like, it sounds, it just, it doesn't always have the same, of course, effect on everyone. And some people, like, I think it like meshes better with, for whatever reason. And maybe that's like a whole other therapy you could do to like understand why certain people are like more, you know, receptive to positive drug interactions than others. Right. But like, you know, it's sort of, it is kind of that fine line of just like curiosity and also like wanting to have like the craving, like a deeper conscious, like a deeper consciousness, but also like not being prepared maybe for when things go wrong, to like, I don't know, just like feeling like that. I like to avoid those kinds of uncomfortable and painful situations in life. So I guess there you go. That's like a whole other, we could talk for like 4 more hours about that. But I think that it's, I am just in general very like happy that it seems like at least the discourse now is like diversifying in terms of what therapy is, what it can be for different people, and like taking a bit of that taboo away from like in certain spaces and groups, to like just realize that we're all just like human beings, like you said, Fran, and like trying to just check out those vínculos like within ourselves and with everyone else around us.
Yeah. I think if you prepare yourself, if you go to therapy, if you somehow know your own patterns, your own defensive mechanisms, if you know a bit of yourself and you're grounded, somehow grounded on Earth, you can go on exploring with psychedelics. I think it's not a problem. But
I did love the. Yeah. Sorry, in the movie, Have a Good Trip, I did love like the little like warnings, like, yeah, don't look in a mirror, don't drive.
Yeah, like, so funny. I was thinking,
look
like
in the mirror.
I was look in the mirror.
Look in the mirror. I was thinking, I was like, but I was like, if I were ever gonna do this, I would want my companions to be Kato and Lauti. Like, I would want, because like you would be, because you have to be around cool people and people who like can chill you out and like who are like on that same wavelength. And like, I think that if you have a good intention, it's like, you know, you exactly like to thine own self be true, right? Like, know yourself, know thyself at the end of the day. I love that. Like, I love know thyself. And I also love, I think is Confucius, wherever you go, go with all your heart, you know? And so like, I love that. That's kind of like a nice reminder of no matter what you're doing or what therapy, if you're doing apiterapia, a Vietnamita, something illegal terapia, you know, whatever, apiterapia, just like, go there with your heart open and full.
Yeah. And trust your heart.
Trust. And if while we're throwing in like quotes, one of my favorites is, there's neither good nor bad, but thinking makes it so. Ooh. And so that's what that might be like, kind of saying, encouraging also people to move away from so much of the thinking and talking and rationalizing and go more into the body and like more into just like the somatic experience. That
so
for
infinite.
Me has been, yeah. Oh yeah.
Like I was talking totally. About that in therapy, like just talking about how, you know, looking outwards, of course, like in the cosmos, but like we know more about the cosmos, I think, than we know about like the deep inner workings of like humanity and like ourselves. Like it's almost like it's more infinite.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, it's like that was like a moment of like, whoa, like I want to explore that. Maybe by next we should do therapy volume 3 and we should all have done some kind of psychedelic journey together, and then we can just talk about it. And then if I'm still like naked in the campo, like screaming and calling Raul that I'm a lunatic, then maybe just please call 911.
Paige has not come down. It's just Fran. It's just Fran and I. Paige has not come down.
It's like
yet.
Paige has taken an extended leave of absence. We are unsure when she will return.
Paige has taken a one-way trip and we are waiting for
in cama ejecutiva, and she is
Oh man, this has been super fun. Oh my God, I learned a lot.
I learned so much. I actually feel like this was Kato, maybe you can, like, I feel like every time we come together and record, it's therapeutic. I always feel good at the end. And
yeah. And well, like, Fernanda and I were talking about that because we were like, a lot of what we do again in Them is like registrar. So like Fran told me, like, leading up to the podcast, he was like, estoy registrando muchos nervios. And then like after we did our little test recording, he was like, siento mucha adrenalina. Yeah. Like, oh my God. When we would walk out of the studio, we would be like coked up.
Like I could like lift a car over my head.
We were so jacked up. And yeah, I think it's double therapeutic to do a podcast about therapy, because since there's a lot of taboo and stigma around therapy in the US, it's very freeing to speak about it so freely and with someone like Fran.
Yeah, it's been very liberating, very free for me to do this with you. So I'm very thankful. I'm very happy.
I love having you. You can be our in-house shaman expert. Like, you know, I'll
yeah,
call you.
I would. Yeah, you should be our
love that.
Definitely phone a friend. Anything therapy related, it's
phone
fun.
A Fran. Get it?
I'm just an apprentice.
Okay, but you know way more than I ever will, so...
A humble, humble apprentice.
A humble aprendiz del universo. All right, so wait, so Fran, any plans for the weekend? Like, any plants you'll be eating or, like, drums you'll be eating?
Oh, no, but on Friday, if you want, there is this... It's super therapeutical, and it's a dance. It's called Cinco Ritmos, Five Rhythm.
Ooh.
Also comes from... Comes from California, from Gabriel Roth.
Okay.
From the Gestalt. Friday, 6 p.m., Nadia Yamuna McNamara.
Okay, Sure, I wrote that down.
About that.
On that note, I think it's time to cut it off.
Well, unfortunately, I am gonna get that from you. But by the time this airs, it will be too late. But please, check out Cinco Ritmos. Also, check out Esalen Massage if you want to get a visual on Fran in his beautiful massage setting. But you also do Californiano, right?
It's the same here in Argentina. We call it Californiano for something rights.
Love it. For
all right, okay, guys.
Well, that was just, I feel like I'm floating on air. So thank you for all of this magical, therapeutical moment.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
Namaste.
Namaste. Namaste, bitches.
Not appropriating, just kind of trying to demonstrate a bow to you through my microphone.
I acknowledge you.
Thank you.
So I guess until next time when we're all hopped up on mescaline together.
Yeah, ajo.
Ajo. Bye.
Bye.